You are listening to the Voice of the Arts, WQED-FM. I'm Jim Cunningham, and with us, the chief of the arts in Western Pennsylvania, as far as I'm concerned, it's Eric Crosby, the Henry J. Hines II director of the Carnegie Museum of Art after the opening of the 58th Carnegie International. The entire art world watches this event closely. Reviews are starting to come in. It's held every other year. It's very extraordinary. The oldest exhibit of its kind, with maybe one exception, the Venice Biennale is 1 year older. So the pressure is on. Is it working? Eric Crosby, how's it going? After the weekend, you must be a dish rag. Nice to see you.
It's always nice to see you, Jim. Thanks for having me. Yeah, I mean, it was an incredibly exciting weekend, and I have recovered.
Good. You look good. That's for sure. Now, you had a dinner for your benefactors. You had a members preview. You had the opening. You had artists here. You had a wild party. Where do you want to begin?
Yeah, well, we welcomed museum professionals, artists, and media from all over the world. They all descended on Pittsburgh to see this incredible exhibition. And really, as you said, mark a historic event, the 58th iteration of the Carnegie International, which is our organization's founding exhibition that dates back to 1896. So this is an exhibition that has evolved dramatically over the course of the museum's history. And with this new iteration, we are looking at an exhibition that is really more international than ever before.
Now, who came? Who did you love meeting? What artists were there? We need sizzle. This town is looking for, we're a long way from Hollywood. We're looking for excitement. What have you got for me?
Well, so the exhibition features over 100 artists, and I'm happy to say that about 50 of them were at the museum celebrating the opening, celebrating not only artworks that they'd contributed and lent that were historical artworks, but also new commissions. It's actually a really distinctive character of this international that it combines both historical work and really exciting new installation commissions by a great many of the artists. So this weekend, we actually hosted a few performances, public presentations of new works by Malcolm Peacock, performance by Ali Ayel, and Christian Niampeta. So it was really a kind of dynamic weekend of visual arts and performing arts at the museum.
Your associate curator, Ryan Inoue, was in. We spoke about Mr. Peacock, and it sounded like a happening, a wild and woolly kind of a thing. How could you describe it for radio listeners who were not there?
Oh, that's interesting. Yes, it is. It does have the character of a happening. Peacock's contribution to the exhibition is a personal one-on-one experience. So visitors to the museum who register for this experience are welcomed by the artist or one of his performers and are led to a back room at the museum, back in the back halls of our incredible facility, to experience a work, an installation work, a live encounter, which I'm not going to reveal the secrets of, otherwise we'll pull back the curtain too much and spoil the fun. But I do think this is a presentation that asks whether Art Museum can really offer the conditions to cultivate a kind of space in which, for the artist, Black autonomy is uncontested. So it's being presented on select days throughout the run of the exhibition that mark significant events in Black American history. So you'd have to go to cmoa.org to learn more and to register for Malcolm Peacock's really wonderful contribution to the exhibition. There are a great many other artists who are presenting works that can be readily experienced as soon as you walk in the door, and even some on the outside of the museum, like Tishan Su's incredible sculptures in the front in the front plaza of the museum, or Rafael Domenech's pavilion erected in the sculpture courtyard.
Now, I should have said right at the outset that you give a prize, you give several prizes, three top prizes at least, and they were selected over the weekend, and that's a very selective, special thing. And one of the winners was Mr. Peacock, yes?
That's correct. Yeah, it's really interesting. The prizes, we do award prizes, and this is a tradition that dates back again to the beginning of the exhibition in 1896. So the very first prize winner, the very first person who received the Carnegie Prize was Winslow Homer, if you can believe it, in 1896 for his painting, his contribution to the exhibition. Now, of course, art has evolved considerably and has prompted so many other kinds of questions and critical interrogations that the criteria for judging Winslow Homer's painting has certainly changed as we consider the work of so many contributors to this exhibition, Malcolm Peacock among them, as well as the photographer LaToya Ruby Frazier, as well as a collective group in Indonesia named Hyphen. These were all winners of the prizes that were awarded by a jury of art world experts.
What sort of folks were on the panel of jurists?
It's a mix. There's a mix of museum staff, myself. I contributed to the panel, as well as our Richard Armstrong Curator of Contemporary Art, Liz Park. But we had a number of industry professionals, Sarah Rifke, a curator who's based in Virginia, as well as Roger Nelson, a curator who's based in Singapore, and Jordan Carter, the curator of the Dia Art Foundation in New York, and our own board chair, Ellen Kessler.
And does everybody have to agree? Do you have to have a unanimous vote? Well, how do you get a winner?
The deliberations of the jury are definitely confidential, but I will say it was an incredibly impassioned jury, all of experts in contemporary art who were very passionate to advocate for a great many of the contributing artists. And ultimately, the jury decided to award prizes to three contributions. As I mentioned, the Carnegie Prize went to LaToya Ruby Frazier. And this was a work, her work was titled More Than Conquerors, A Monument for Community Healthcare Workers of Baltimore, Maryland. And your listeners might know that LaToya Ruby Frazier was born in Braddock, Pennsylvania, and based in Chicago. And she uses photography to tell the stories of community healthcare workers in Baltimore during the pandemic, specifically during the rollout of the vaccine. This is an incredibly moving work. If you imagine a photography exhibition in your mind, you might picture framed photographs on the wall. Well, LaToya created a really very moving installation of 66 photographs, all standing on sort of medical stands, the kinds that would otherwise hold, an IV bag or some other device within a hospital environment. So the visitor to the museum is encouraged to wander around, explore these photographs, some of which LaToya took, others her subjects took, as well as read their own words, their testimonies and interviews about their experiences. It's a very moving work. A great many of the subjects of her photographic series actually came to the museum for the opening of the exhibition and saw themselves as art within the space of the museum. So beyond just the framed photograph, the impact of this work is really wide-reaching.
I'm very eager to see LaToya's work. She wrote a book called The Notion of Family, mm-hmm. which was about the terrible effects of the loss of the steel industry in Braddock, and it took a reputation far and wide. And I read at least one article where she was compared to the photographers from Germany, Berndt and Hille Becher, who do the big industrial water tanks and gas towers and steel mills, and they went to Braddock and filmed. I don't know if she ever saw their work, but there are some interesting comparisons, I think, between the two of them. Very interesting artists.
Yeah. Well, with the comparison in subject matter, I can see, although it's so interesting how different the photographers are in terms of methodology. Frazier really immerses herself within the community of her subjects so as not to narrate their stories for them, but to create space for them to narrate their experiences. I think this is a powerful gesture. We so often think of the photographer as looking through the camera frame, through the lens, and depicting the world instead of really engaging with subjects in meaningful reciprocal exchange, which draws more attention, I think, to their experience and to our own experience. So
Another of your Carnegie International winners is completely new to me, Hyphen. Mm-hmm. You mentioned they're a collective.
Yeah, it's so interesting. So this exhibition engages a great many thinkers, curators, catalog contributors, and so forth. And one of the really unique contributions to the exhibition is a kind of exhibition within the exhibition curated by an Indonesian collective named Hyphen. And they are based in Yogyakarta with members Akmalia Rasquita, Grace Sambo, and Ratna Mufida. And they're really very passionate and curious curators, researchers who are piecing together Indonesian art history through research, through archives, publishing, various residencies, exhibition making, and so forth. This isn't your typical contribution to an exhibition like this, because in effect, their material, the material of their work, is the art of other people, arranged and presented in order to share art histories that are not well known in the United States. And so we welcomed their presentation to the 58th Carnegie International, which really considers the life and work of a painter named Kustia, an artist who came of age during Indonesia's revolutionary period and really made her mark as one of the few women artists who had some prominence within that cultural context. She also was distinctive in the sense of painting from life rather than a sort of traditional European studio kind of setup. She would paint from life in the field, painting everyday subjects as well as herself with a really vibrant palette. So you can see a great many canvases at the museum, the largest presentation of her work outside of Indonesia yet, which is really remarkable. And again, this is just Hyphen's contribution is drawing attention to the work of this important woman artist who had been eclipsed by other art histories. And so we're happy to draw attention to her work through their, you know, really creative presentation.
And where is Hyphen when I come to the front door of the Carnegie Museum of Art? I got to see your winners for sure. I want to catch everything, but where are they?
Yeah, well, not to confuse your listeners with complicated directions, but I encourage you to ask at our front desk
and ask
then
the guard,
and then download download the map from our QR code, and you'll That's be great. Guided right to it.
And will there be a hardbound volume at the end of the in April when this is all over?
There actually is a hardbound volume already available now. So we've produced an exhibition catalog for our visitors that's been available at the time of the opening this past weekend. So visitors to the museum or visitors to our website, cmoa.org, can find copies of that catalog there, which is really an essential resource for the international research that's been conducted to realize this exhibition.
I love that. Is it morning for you yet?
Mm-hmm.
Not all capitalized. This is a statement, a comment, something that you say in Guatemala when you see someone. Are you up yet? Are you together? Listen, I start at 6 o'clock to work every morning, so I'm always a wreck in the morning. Is it morning for you yet? Where'd you come up with that title?
Well, we talked about this a little bit last time, but for your listeners who haven't checked in on it, it is a somewhat poetic name for our exhibition that's borrowed, really, and inspired by a conversation that our curators had with the contributing artist Edgar Kalel. And the question, "Is it morning for you yet?" comes from a Mayan Quechuel expression, where really just a kind of everyday expression, where instead of saying good morning as you would normally, as I would to you, good morning, Jim, I would normally ask, is it morning for you yet? And the question really acknowledges that we all have different internal clocks, right? It may be morning for you, but it may be night for me. The idea is that we all have different experiences and may bring to our daily interactions a different sort of mindset or worldview that should be acknowledged as we confront each other and tackle questions of the world. So the question, is it morning for you yet, is meant to recognize that across the globe, peoples, you know, around the world do have a different experience of the structures, politics, and economics that shape their lives.
What else do you want folks to know about your opening weekend? What was the personal surprise or joy for you? You mean there weren't any art insults, no fist breaking out, no protests, no madness? This is art, after all. It really excites people.
There was no madness, but I think the thing that I took away from it was really the beauty of the event. I mean, this is an exhibition that opens in such an extraordinary facility of the Carnegie Museums of Pittsburgh, in the grand music hall foyer, surrounded by marble columns from, you know, drawn from marble sources from around the world. And the great floral displays, and just how everybody dressed so beautifully to honor the artists and the work of our exhibition team. The museum was really alive with energy in a way I've never seen it before. You know, hundreds of visitors, revelers, really coming to experience live performances and to, you know, just take in just the enjoyment of it all. It was. It was really remarkable. I will also say that there was one additional prize winner who I mentioned before. That is the work of Malcolm Peacock. And I encourage visitors to go to our website, cmoa.org, to register for that unique experience.
Something you definitely do not want to miss. And Friday night you had your benefactors there. Our Anna Singer was on the scene. She said she never went to a party where people were dressed more exotically and colorfully and artfully than at Friday night's event.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, well, that was my experience of it. I really, you know, people showed up very, very elegantly dressed. And, you know, it's in celebration of this 126-year-old exhibition. I think it's actually befitting. This is an exhibition that we host every 4 years at the museum. So it's a rare occasion to really step out and to show up. So, yeah. Hopefully you'll see some pictures of everything we were wearing online.
The scene column must have been there. They shouldn't be doing it. But what you mentioned at the outset, a lot is going to happen between now and April 2. So we had the opening weekend, but folks who couldn't make it there, what would you suggest they do? I mean, you can go other places, too. You got to go see the mural, which is in Homestead? Homewood.
In the Hill District.
In the Hill District. Yeah,
that's right. I mean, there are first and foremost, come visit the museum. The Carnegie International transforms this museum with commissions inside and out of the museum that transforms its collection galleries and special exhibition galleries. There are 101, literally 101 different points of entry into this exhibition with artists from around the world. So I guarantee that everybody will find something moving to connect with in this incredibly moving exhibition. There are, as you mentioned, also some satellite projects that you can learn more about at cmoa.org, including a mural by James Yahya Huff in the Hill District, as well as projects by Terra Zero and, as I mentioned, Rafael Domenech and others. So, yes, please learn more at the website, but also come immerse yourself in the world of the museum and explore these art histories that, you know, are fairly unfamiliar to our visitors and to our museum. This is a museum that has a largely Western collection, and for the last 3 years, we've been conducting very rigorous research with partners around the world into non-Western art histories, and this is an opportunity to really expand our horizons and to think about how artists have forged solidarity with one another across borders in the name of resistance movements around the world, and have really identified and championed new ways of thinking and working across media. I've been working on this exhibition with our curatorial team, with our museum leadership team, for the better part of 3 years now, and it gives me goosebumps. And so something that you've still been working on for 3 years, if that still gives you goosebumps, that's a pretty good sign.
Thank you so much for sending Ryan Inoue and Mr.
Sohrab Mohebi.
Mohebi, who is also in New York in charge of a sculpture museum, I read, as of last February, I guess.
That's right. Yeah, he was recently appointed the director of Sculpture Center in New York, which we're thrilled by. It's always gratifying when a curator of the international goes on to find the next great opportunity. Because this is such an important exhibition that seeds talent within our field, and appointing Sohrab as curator was really one of my first decisions as the newly appointed director of the museum in 2020. He's somebody who really is has long kind of embraced the complexity of artistic practices, contemporary artistic practices, to sort of navigate life today. And it's just so invigorating to see him create connections across nations and across borders through this really beautiful and sumptuous exhibition.
The whole 58th Carnegie International is thrilling. Congratulations. It's an amazing
thing
that
you're
able to pull it
off.
Thank you,
Jim. It's fun to see the museum transformed. I mean, if you have an idea of what Carnegie Museum of Art looks like, throw that out, because this is a really dynamic, extraordinary development for the museum, and I encourage everybody to come visit between now and April 2nd.
I noticed at least one review, one of the art news online sources, seemed quite extensive and very positively impressed. So the reviews are already starting to come in, and they look good to me anyway.
Well, that's good. I'm glad to hear
art
that from you.
Art critics really have a sharpened quill pen. You know, they can really be stinging sometimes. They go for the jugular.
That's right. I mean, with a turn of the prism, every exhibition looks different to different people, and I welcome all critical perspectives on it. But you're right. The reception has been overwhelmingly positive so far.
So folks will come from Europe to see it. The people that go to the Venice Biennale will be coming to Pittsburgh to your museum to check out the 58th.
That's true. That's true. I wonder if that's a surprise to some of your visitors, but this is an exhibition that does attract a worldwide following. And they also come and experience all that Pittsburgh has to offer, not just the museum. So it's a really exciting time to welcome people from Europe and around the world, from New York and beyond, to see what's up at Carnegie Museum of Art. I will say that the exhibition, while it did just open, there are a great many programs that visitors can engage with during the run of the exhibition through April 2nd. So for one, we have a really dynamic series of lectures and conversations called Refractions, which will take place starting October at the museum. And it will bring artists and collectives in conversation with audiences to discuss their works, as well as their philosophical commitments and motivations. There are a great many speakers that you can learn more about online, but if you're looking for a kind of deep dive into the international experience, into the experience of individual artists, those are programs that might be really of interest to you. For our film buffs out there, we also have a film program, which is a special collaboration with the great Row House Cinema in Lawrenceville, which you may be familiar with. And this is a series that's been curated by Rasha Salty, a very talented independent film and visual arts curator and writer. And Rasha has organized a program that really expands the content and the social and political and environmental histories that are kind of evoked and referenced by the exhibition, expanded that into a kind of a film series that, again, you can learn much more about on our website. And these are just are intended to be other pathways into the rich global content of this exhibition for those who are maybe more interested in conversation and film than they are in painting. But although I hope they serve as points of entry into the visual arts.
And we're going to add some audio, too, with the talks that we will record and create podcasts from them, so they'll be available online.
Yes.
We're thrilled to be partner with you in getting that together.
Well, and this is essential, because I think while it's wonderful to all gather in the museum's historic theater and to talk about international art, it's another to be able to transmit these ideas even more broadly through WQED, a partnership with WQED. So, yes, very excited, and thank you, Jim.
And the cameras were over to capture a little of James Yaya Huff in his natural environment, too.
Yes.
So WQED-TV will be putting some things together for the viewers of Channel 13. I think that's fabulous.
That's fantastic. I mean, there's nothing like a powerful exhibition of visual art to bring people together and to explore all these new ideas. There are a great many also expanded language tours at the museum, where we're piloting different tours in a variety of languages represented by the artists in the exhibition, as well as tours based on verbal descriptions, feeling, movement, and sound, and more. And then there's also a great many family and children's programs, too. While there is a lot of political and social content within the exhibition. We're very committed to making opening up pathways to the visual arts for our younger audiences. So through our morning movement programs or our international lab where you can drop in and make something with your kids, or even more importantly, a series we're calling Artist Threads, which are a free at-home or in-school activity-based learning resource for young people grades 6 through 12. The international really opens up horizons for all age groups.
It may have been you, but I think it was Ryan who told me that some of your artists have pieces that involve sound, and I always love that as a sound guy, you know, a radio guy. Does anything come to mind from opening weekend that made noise, that made sounds?
Yeah, I'll tell you, the exhibition's a bit noisier than I expected it would be as I tried to wander through with different various like VIP groups and various donors to give them a sneak peek of the exhibition. I found it kind of cacophonous to walk through. But there are actually a few sound and video works which bleed throughout the exhibition. But these are sounds of the world and sounds of, you know, dynamic visual art. I don't want to spoil any surprises.
Excellent.
For
I'll be there for sure. Yeah. I can sneak my microphone along. And everybody's got a phone these days, Eric. They're going to try to capture it,
like
it or not.
And we encourage it. We absolutely encourage people to capture it and share it on their social channels to help us garner even more interest in the international.
So. Very good.